It's time for the Access of Easy podcast, the weekly technology digest that keeps you ahead of the curve. Brought to you by EasyDNS.com.
Welcome, everybody, to the Access of Easy podcast. This is number 380, the audio sidekick to the weekly newsletter from Mark and Joe. My name is Joey. That's Len. Buddy, what is going on over there? How the heck are you?
I'm good, Joey. I'm just going to get ready to go to the local Sobeys or Metro or whatever and just stock up on stuff that's going to be GST-free.
Saturday? Saturday's the day?
Isn't it today? Whatever it is. You know what? That
day is going to be... I thought it was the 14th.
Oh, you know what? I may be in 2 days early, so Christmas
save
isn't
your,
here just
save
yet.
Your receipts.
Bring them back. I want a freaking rebate. Everything's good, Joey. I'm just freezing over here. Outside, inside, I'm all good. But how about you, Joey?
It's cold, man. I just took my dog for a walk, actually. Me and Moose hit the park maybe about an hour ago while I was waiting for you to come free from your engagement. It's very cold here, and I will note that we are both taking advantage of the tags. You're celebrating the GST holiday. I have Security Joan as my tag. Do you know extra points? Okay, if you know what Security Joan is, without looking it up, put it in the comments, and you'll get nothing. I'll send you a video wishing you Merry Christmas.
I don't know what it is.
I don't know if you. I'm not going to give you any hints, but if you know what Security Joan is,
should I know what it is?
Tell Mark somehow. It depends on what you were doing in the 80s, I think.
I was alive.
Yeah, I know. But like, I think it's more about things you were consuming. Anyway, let's get into the newsletter here. The usual stuff. Last week's quote, "To the mind that is still, the whole universe surrenders." That was by Lao Tzu. Sean got it. Congratulations, Sean, to you. And enjoy your renewal. This week's quote, "I consider that a man's brain originally is like a little empty attic and you have to stock it with such furniture as you choose." If you know who that was by, put it in the comments. No looking, and you get your next round of renewals on Easy DNS. Why would you stock your attic with furniture? Like old furniture?
Yeah. So some places they have the stairs that lead up to the attic, which is just another storage area.
Yeah.
There's that meme too of talking about the Bitcoiner.
Come on down. How's my little crypto trader?
Exactly that. So yeah, over here we can't. I'm not sure how your attic is set up, but just for me to get in and out. And not only that, when I'm in my attic, there's no room for anything. Just even going around is it's just not set up for that.
My attic is in the garage. I've actually never been in it. I've lived in this house for a year and a half now. I've never been in the attic.
And hopefully you never do. If ever you do, if I could give you a piece of advice, Joey, make sure you're covered from head to toe. No skin is showing or very little. And make sure you have a mask on. You don't want that stuff breathing it in. Because that stuff is nasty if it gets in your lungs. So.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I'm talking about the insulation stuff. So anyways, let's dive right in, Joey.
Sure.
Is it five or six stories? Was it a bonus six?
I think there's a bonus. I mean, this is a story late ad. Mark was on the Your Life, Your Term show with Tom and Nick Carrazza, friends of ours. We've been on that show multiple times.
Did you listen to it?
I listened today, actually. Yeah. And it was very good. I mean, I'm partial to both the host and the guest in this case. So maybe my opinion is not the most balanced, but it's a good discussion. Mark and Tom are both guys who've built successful businesses, been around the block, and I think most importantly are open-minded enough to come off of the corner on which they started to the other corner. Mark talking today about how he's going to start looking into real estate. Obviously, he started investing in Bitcoin. Tom, a real estate guy, thinking more and more about digital assets instead of physical ones. You'd love to see open-minded conversations like that. They are more and more rare in the traditional media space. And so going to a podcast like that and getting a good conversation between two guys who are successful by almost any measure, I enjoyed it. It's about an hour and change, and I recommend people listen to it if you haven't already. You can find that on the Your Life, Your Terms podcast feed.
Check it out. I'm going to have to check it out as well.
It's great.
I tend to listen to Your Life, Your Terms, but I worked very hard today. I didn't have a chance to listen to any podcast.
Rats. Sorry to hear
that. It's a fiat mining day. Extraordinary. Let's talk about this AppLite Trojan, and this is impacting Android because it's a malware for that ecosystem, and it's been targeting unsuspected users through, well, very sophisticated phishing campaigns, and it's a very malicious software, and it is a variant of something called the Antidote Banking Trojan, and it's designed to steal sensitive information, including like banking credentials, If you have a Bitcoin wallet or a Crapcoin wallet, the credentials for that stuff, your personal information, and maybe even controlling your device, getting control of it and doing stuff behind the scenes that you just don't know. And it's trying to lure in their victims using several tactics, such as, you know, maybe downloading and installing the malware. So it's just through email, phishing emails, stuff that's disguised as job offers from legitimate companies. And then there's a malicious link that's contained in the email or an attachment. And then when clicked or downloaded, then it's game on. And then the AppLite Trojan is installed. And people are advised to ensure that don't start clicking on stuff that you're not very sure what you're clicking on. Don't download and open anything that you don't know what it is. Only download apps from trusted sources. But even then, we've heard about the Google Play Store having some malicious apps on there too.
Yeah.
So still, I mean, this is, you know, it's a good habit, but it's not foolproof. And also keeping your software up to date in your phone. Often they're releasing software updates to make sure you get the latest and greatest for security. And if you also, if you really want to go a little bit further, use two-factor authentication, especially for your banking stuff. And last but not least, don't leave anything to do with your Bitcoin or, I guess, crap coins on your phone. The reason being is if it's not a watch-only system, if you could actually sign transactions with your phone, well, you're just asking for problems, especially if you have a large amount of digital assets on your phone. So, yeah, just be very careful. This is just the same old stuff. But the AppLite, this is something that's just come about, and it's impacting the Android stuff. I have an Android right here, so maybe I'm impacted.
Probably yeah, not. You gotta be careful. It's interesting. So this thing is part of a plot where you receive basically, it sounds like a job offer or something similar from a reputable or spoofed reputable HR wing of a company. And then as you're interacting with them via email, they send you an instructions to download an app. And that app asks for full permissions to your phone. So you have to go through the permission phase. This is the big thing. When the app is installed, you have to okay the permissions. You should never be doing that. Never. You know, God bless iPhones for defaulting to no permissions, especially now, even with the ads. They will not let apps by default read across your device to target ads to you. So that's good. Android, I'm sure, will go this direction at some point. The capabilities of this thing are nuts, including, I know you mentioned two-factor authentication. This thing can intercept two-factor authentication codes and even control devices, the camera and the microphone on the device. Pretty serious stuff. And it's funny, in the article, they talk about, you know, it's important to make sure when you're downloading apps from unknown sources that it's the right thing. Isn't the answer just to not download apps from unknown sources? Shouldn't you ever, you should never do that. How can you know about the app if you don't know about the source? This is the, you know, dance that we're trying to do here, making sure that you know both before you do stuff like this. Easy to avoid, but I guess in a, you know, in an economy where unemployment is 6, 7, 8%, that job looks pretty good. You might make a mistake when you think you might start collecting a regular paycheck. So be aware, my friends, be aware.
And do less on your phone, right? Yeah. Like try to use a computer, totally, that you know is clean. And, you know, if something happens to your phone and it gets compromised, at least you'll just be able to see your chats. Hopefully there's nothing in there that's going to incriminate you, but really like do less on it if possible. Do you really have to do banking on your phone, right? Like it could wait, right?
Yeah.
In my opinion. But anyways, let's talk about this Global Engagement Center, the GEC. And this is an agency within the Bureau of Global Public Affairs at the United States Department. it's in the process of being mothballed, right? This was established in 2016. And the primary mission is to recognize, understand, expose, and counter foreign state and non-state propaganda and disinformation efforts. And if you want to even go further, it's responsible for analytical and research, collecting data from foreign actors, international partnerships that's participating in international coalitions, and also programs and campaigns. They have GEC houses teams focuses on Russia, China, Iran, you know, all those countries that counter terrorism and stuff like that. But now we hear that it's, you know, maybe mothballed because, you know, look, Trump is coming back into power, right? Like, I don't know what's there's a lot that's going on behind the scenes as the transition from Biden to Trump come in. And the GEC has been a target of a lot of criticism by Republican lawmakers. And it was accused of surveillance and censorship. And the funding of this, well, it came from Congress, right? So Congress, if they don't want to fund this anymore, where are they going to get their money from? Ukraine's not going to fund it. Ukraine is, right? Like, and there's also some internal challenges here, including the leadership changes that's going on within the State Department and so forth. So this thing, it looks like it's on its last legs, for better or for worse. I mean, this thing has been doing surveillance on people. That's pretty crass, especially people within the United States.
Brutal.
It would be. But if it was doing what it was designed to do and stopping counterterrorism and stuff like that, then maybe there is some justification to keep it around. Maybe. But I don't know. I never heard of this GEC thing until today, to be honest.
We talked about it before.
We did?
For sure. If we have not talked about this on Access of Easy, then it's an indictment of Mark and Joan's newsletter. Sorry, Mark and Joan. This is the interesting part of the article. They're not actually like getting rid of any of these people who are causing these problems through the GEC initiatives. They're being realigned to other department offices and bureaus for foreign information manipulation. So they're basically spreading this virus. You may remember this from, oh, you know what? Maybe we didn't talk about it on Access VZ. Maybe we talked about it on CBP, but you may remember this from the list of websites, the least risky websites in terms of, you know, quality information: NPR, Associated Press, New York Times, Insider, USA Today, BuzzFeed, Huffington Post. Those places, by the way, I think are pretty much bankrupt or close to it. And then, of course, then the riskiest sites: Real Clear Politics, New York Post, Reason Magazine, Daily Wire, The Federalist, The American Conservative. Sounds risky to me, especially if you're on one side of the aisle. This initiative was discussed by Mike Benz on the Joe Rogan podcast, which I recommended people listen to last week. I'll recommend it again this week. It's long. It is a true black pill, two hours and change. But man, some of the revelations in there are insane. And I think a lot of people look at that interview and articles like this in a vacuum and they go, this doesn't matter, blah, blah, blah. But then you look at what these guys have done, right? Whether it was the Twitter files, whether it was this other, you know, we're engaging with certain groups to make sure we're stopping the spread of disinformation. And then you compare it to what Mike Benz said during the Rogan show. These things are truly disgusting. And they're happening behind the scenes all the time. When people talk about the deep state and permanent Washington, this is what they mean. And this sort of disbanding is good. It's a good first step. But the people involved in this really should be, you know, removed from government at almost any cost. We're not quite there yet. Maybe Donald will get there when he gets in a month or so. But in the meantime, we got to live with these parasites floating around the rest of the department.
Or he other had 4 years to do it last time. And
do you think he's surrounded with the wrong people around him last time. Look at the people around him this time. I know everyone's like, oh, he's already been the president. Yeah, that was a different presidency. I don't often think that's the case. And I'm not saying it's going to be a lot better this time, but there is no one around him that is a true Washington insider the way that that other group was. So I have high hopes for this presidency in terms of just like exposing some rot. In terms of change, I don't know, but exposing rot, yeah, I think we're going to get some juicy stuff.
Well, let's see if he could do it. The first time, not really. The second time, maybe a charm for him to drain the swamp. And yeah, let's talk about Nemesis and Shiny Hunters. This is a couple of cyber criminal groups, and they've been actively exploiting vulnerabilities in public websites to steal sensitive information, including Amazon Web Services, this is AWS, cloud's credentials. And these groups have been scanning millions of IP addresses in search of exploits. And they're doing their thing to make sure people are feeling the pain if they are AWS user. And it's a lot of brute force here. So like their strategy here involves a two-pronged approach: discovery and exploitation. And to identify a potential target out there, they utilize a powerful IT search called the Shodan. Shodan. I really like that name. Like I'm going to give it almost a 4.5.
Like, what is that? Shodan.
I don't know.
Shogun is Japanese. Shodan, I don't know.
Isn't it Shogunate or something? Oh, either way.
I don't know.
Shodan, I like, for whatever reason, I like it. I'm giving a 4.5 out of 5. I think it's a solid name. I very rarely give a high mark, so.
I'll stick in the 3 range. Keep it in 3.
Wow, okay.
We've never handed out a perfect score on the names before?
I don't think so. It's going to need a good one. So yeah. Anyways, this tool, the Shodan tool, enables them to perform reverse lookup on IP addresses, and it uncovers associated domain names within the AWS range. And within this thing, they could do an attack surface in this manner and target a wide range of organizations as a result. And so they're using brute force attacks. They're using phishing attacks. They're using SQL injection attacks and cross-site scripting, that's XSS attacks. And so really out there, if you're an AWS user, there's a lot of them that are using cloud-based systems. I'd be very concerned if you have anything sensitive on there, because if it somehow your information is compromised and stolen and given into the wrong hands, they could use this against you. So I'm not sure who out there is using cloud-based stuff, but just be very careful. People have to do, like as always, use the strong passwords out there, not just something you just recycle. Make sure that has a lot of random characters, numbers, capitals, all that jazz. MFA is another thing that you can use. Use reputable services out there if you're going to do this. And it's just like the last story or two stories ago, keep your stuff updated as well. And keep employees up to date in terms of how to work stuff, network securities, firewalls, keep that stuff up and going. And hopefully this will mitigate a lot of the attack vectors that's happening with you. But going back, AWS is a huge tool. A lot of people use it. Yep. And it just makes sense because you could offload a lot of the horsepower to somebody else, in this case, Amazon, let them do it. But now there's a level of trust you have to have for them. Not that they haven't deserved it. They have a pretty good record. I'm just saying, just be careful what you have hosting on there, especially if it gets either compromised or manipulated later on. If they can start screwing with stuff, and then if somebody tries to get access to it and it's a different page, and then they enter in their credentials and they're now recording it themselves, this is a real mess. That's all I got to get. This is just an absolute mess.
What do you think the responsibility of AWS is here? If I look at the article, you know, there's a couple things in here that raise red flags to me. These guys scanning IP ranges that they know belong to AWS and then looking for known application vulnerabilities. Like what is the AWS responsibility there? It's not zero. And I know in the article it says they notified people and tried to help. But like, you know, taking steps to mitigate the impact is not the same as taking steps to mitigate the vulnerabilities. You know they're there. AWS should know they're there. That's one thing. And then the other thing is, I think I mentioned this like months ago now, but there's a trend on this show that we're talking more and more about cloud services. You notice that? Like every week, it's like a cloud service issue, whether it's, you know, a data breach, honeypot, whatever. It's never, or very rarely anyways, an attack vector that's going after home PCs, right? Planting malware, whatever. It's mobile malware, I find most often, and cloud attacks. And if AWS is vulnerable, like what are the odds that Azure is not vulnerable, or Google Cloud is not vulnerable, or, you know, whatever, pick your cloud service provider is not vulnerable. It's not very high. You know, it's very high chance that they're vulnerable and are actively being, or at least, you know, having attempts made on their security protocols. So I don't know what Amazon's responsibilities are here, but this is kind of flown under the radar. When you say Amazon's a huge company and to have this level of what seems to me to be pretty rudimentary vulnerability, normally wouldn't be good for the share price, but I think people are still in the dark really about all this stuff, right? It seems to me like they're generally about security.
We've had more AWS stories than any other.
Probably. Is that just a product of attack surface though? Like a product of size? That's what I'm not sure about.
Are they the biggest?
They got
bigger
be.
Than Microsoft.
They got to be. Yeah. I mean, when you want to run something on cloud, AWS is your first stop.
How does Microsoft's their market cap? This is really going into the weeds here. Like, you know, I look at Microsoft and traditionally Microsoft is Windows, Office, stuff like that. Everybody ran it along, but now it seems like a lot less people are running, especially people at home. A lot of people don't have computers and they have tablets and so forth. So how are they making their money? Well, they have Xbox, they have their gaming division.
Everything is, you know, MRR, ARR, it's all like, you know, subscription cloud, all that stuff. Yeah, totally.
So if their market cap is extremely high and their cloud base is making up a chunk of their overall revenue and the valuation of the company, wouldn't you think that they have probably equal market share or maybe greater than Amazon does?
Who's got the biggest cloud.
I mean, Amazon, service. When I think of Amazon, the first thing that comes to mind is buying stuff online. It's not the online thing. And maybe because I'm skewed, but
just Amazon's got the biggest one. Amazon's
really
lead in cloud market share with 31% of the market, Microsoft at 20, Alphabet with 12. So there you go.
Well, that's a huge drop off.
That's actually only 50% or 60% of the total market, right? So who's the other? I'd be curious about that.
Private, I guess.
Maybe. I don't know.
But that's a huge drop off between second and third.
Yeah. It's a double, right? Yeah. Pretty close.
Yeah.
So,
all right. Well, let's keep moving on. Flow breaking. Did we talk about this already? No, we haven't. Let's talk about it right now. And it's a new type of AI attack that's been discovered, and it's designed to manipulate large language models. Those are LLMs. God, we talked about this, I think, with Praveen a few weeks back.
Maybe.
Either way. It causes them to provide harmful or inappropriate information with these LLMs. And as well, there's also two new attacks called Second Thoughts and Stop and Roll. These names.
Stop and Roll. Flow breaking. I like that one.
You really? Man, I don't know. It looks like you're going to give it high marks, but I'm going to give it.
I don't know if I can give it high marks. So you know, reading the articles, I always think about, is this a good name? Like, yeah, it's at least pretty original, you know, I think anyway. Yeah.
The Second Thoughts attack is a timing attack that exploits the way these LLMs processes requests. And by carefully timing the request, the attackers can trick these LLMs into providing answers that they would normally block, right? So it's almost not really a social engineering thing, but it's finding a hole into getting the information you want. And for example, an attacker could use Second Thoughts in attack to get information from an LLM to provide instructions on how to build a bomb, because normally you get, you know, Roblox, but if you time it right with this type of attack, you get that information. The stop and roll attack is a prompt injection attack that injects malicious code into the LLM's prompt, and the code could cause the LLM to generate harmful or inappropriate content. For example, the attacker could use a stop and roll attack to get the LLM to generate hate speech or something much worse that involves children. So flow breaking is a serious threat when you look at AI systems. Like, a lot of people are using AI. I've talked about it being a more advanced type search and getting information much quicker, but looks like people are finding ways around a lot of the loopholes to either get information that they shouldn't get or have stuff generated that should never have been generated in the first place. This is just the reality of it. It seems like we're at the very beginning, at the dawn of AI, and there's a lot of exploits and crap like that that's going to take place in the meantime. And really, it's just going to take some years before this is all worked out. But in the meantime, we're going to have stuff like this going on, which is too bad.
What's the biggest danger from this?
Well, if you're going to be able to create images that really shouldn't be there.
That's one thing I thought about. The other one I thought about is, like, if your data set includes sensitive internal stuff, maybe that's also a problem. But I mean, apart from those two things, right, the creating images that are unsavory, you know, we're probably thinking of the same thing. It, you know, if it's criminal, it's just as dicey for the user as it is for the company, and probably easily traced. And then the other, like, internal stuff is annoying, but potentially not catastrophic. It seems to me like this is only a fear in the current political environment, which I think is waning, in which an AI could say something inappropriate and then some company has to issue a 7-tweet thread about how they're working to be better and there won't be any more, you know, rude comments made by its AI bot, right? I don't see, like, the article goes into great detail about the technicals and the techniques of how to do this and why it happens, but doesn't really talk much about what the problem with any of this stuff is, except that it's doable. So, like, what am I missing here? Is this like a snowflakes be on alert? You might get something that hurts your feelings back if you ask a question and press stop while the answer is formulating, or is there more to this than that?
Nah, so some of the pictures it could generate are criminal. That's the
that's
problem.
It though, and, right?
And that's, well, the one that I see a lot on Twitter/X these days are, you see these AI generated images of Trudeau and Jagmeet Singh, and they're buddy buddy, like they're, you know, arm in arm or stuff like that. They're clearly AI generated.
Yeah.
And, you know, and kind of in a way that it irks me in a way, because obviously these guys, you can say what you want about one propping up the other, but in reality is they're adversaries.
They're competitors. Yeah.
Election. They're good friends, but better enemies. That's the reality. So when they see stuff like that, and it, you know, they're just poking fun, but you're poking fun, but what's the next step? You know, and that's what I fear. And, you know, let's leave it alone. Let's
AI ethics is an ongoing kind of silo, right? So, we won't go any deeper in that, but it's just interesting to kind of see like where these conversations, even where they take us, they're taking other people places too. That's for sure.
Yeah. That's TikTok.
Yeah.
King government's going to lock horns with them.
I love the story.
This is, you know, the popular app that everybody knows and uses, except for me. I don't have it installed. I don't use that stupid thing.
CBP uses it. I have it on my phone to track.
Anyways, Canada, they're citing some security concerns that the government, it happened just not too long ago. They ordered dissolution of TikTok Technology Canada, and that's the TikTok operations within the borders of Canada. And national security. So they're doing a security review of TikTok's parent company, ByteDance. And the government is also expressing potential use of this and trying to gain government access, sensitive user data, influence public opinion, all that crap. And not too long ago, we had MP Michael Chong talking about in parliament about how China was interfering with his life/election. Yeah. And there was a report that looks like there was foreign interference in a few of the MP elections, and China was supposedly behind some of this. And if there's a connection, you will see, between TikTok and the Chinese government, then there may be a strong correlation between that and shaping the opinion of the Canadian voters. But with all this being said, TikTok, they're not backing down. Look, they've been told to shut down operations, but they are trying to fight this decision. They're saying that the order is unjust and unfair, and they maintained that they've implemented a robust measures to protect users and their data and address security concerns. I don't believe them one bit. But the problem is, once you do this, and they have already done this with TikTok, what's next? Who's next? And why is it to happen? Because, you know, the same type of template can be used for another company, another service, another platform that somebody may not like. It's just, it's, you know, I am in agreement with it's bad, TikTok being bad, but doing something to, you know, to get them off the radar here, what's next though? That's what
it's it's rather unsavory. I'll note here too that TikTok's case for staying in Canada also makes my blood boil. TikTok invested in monitoring its platform for potentially violent content during the Freedom Convoy protests against COVID mandates. So when the government said that they had all this evidence of violence and whatnot, which was later overturned in a legal process, I believe, was it TikTok that gave them that bad information? That's a problem for me. More recently, TikTok was also on its toes for foreign interference and hateful content related to Brampton clashes between Sikhs and Hindus. Pretty sure I still saw a bunch of fights and that I didn't see any meaningful attempt by police, either physically or in the internet sphere, to stop any of those conflicts. So didn't do anything there. And in fact, I see on our TikTok feed, I think because we're being watched by a lot of those demographics, we'll say, I see a lot of that stuff on our feed. And so, you know, TikTok, in my opinion, is contributing on the wrong side of both of those causes. And then of course, the political context is that the Trudeau government playing the election misinformation card indirectly and directly to put pressure on social sites. I agree with that. I think that this is a convenient scapegoat in some respects. And in other respects, we look at the recent attempts to pass, let's say, scope narrowing legislation in terms of where Canadians can get their news and info. And I think that maybe this is not quite it's a bit of a Trojan horse, let's say, by the sitting government. So, you know, at the end of the day, I think whether you're for this, against this, your point is the one that people should be thinking about. Do you want this model of enforcement to be the norm? And to your point, I will agree with you again. I think that you probably do not want this to be the norm or to become something that any government goes to as a first option.
Slippery slope.
Big time.
Yeah, you don't want to be caught there. So I think that's it. We talked about Your Life, Your Terms. Let's one last time, let's plug it. Go listen to it.
Yeah,
I have to listen to it. So I have to listen.
It's great. To my own advice. It is great. I'm going to talk to Tom. I'll probably wind up going there at some point to drop off some stuff that we got for those guys. Maybe I'll sit for an hour with them. I haven't done that in probably 6 months or 7 months now. So I'll go make my semi-yearly appearance. That's it for Len and I. We'll see you next week. Same time, same place. And until then, take care of yourselves.
Take care.